that preached about repentance. And we're going to talk about the issue, and don't miss it. Don't miss it. Let our young people be dismissed for children Bible time. Mr. Frank and Miss Rodriguez. I don't see Miss Rodriguez. Okay. Frank is in charge. Run for your life. And then afterwards, we have the annual Father's Day Float Fellowship. Real root beer floats. A&W, not the cheap stuff. And as I said this morning, if you wanted to file your ice cream and put Orange Crush in there, wow, we'll let you do that. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, speak to our hearts this evening. We'll thank you for what you do tonight as we come to you in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Soul winning is leading a person to accept the gift of God, which is eternal life in Jesus Christ. And sometimes that happens when you're talking to the person. Jesus, the woman at the well. Sometimes it comes to a person that you've ministered to for a long time. How long did you guys minister to Tony before Tony got saved? Like forever. Like when he went. And it just seems like it's just never going to happen. Then, boom, something happens in their life, but they know who to call because you're the person that shared the light with them. And sometimes it's somebody that you didn't share the light with, but maybe a mom or dad or grandma has been praying for them. I preached a funeral. The guy's name was Bob several years ago, and I had the privilege of leading him to Christ. And at his funeral, he died, I don't know, maybe 3 or 4 months later, and as the guy absolutely closed off to the gospel, he would raise his hand in my face and say, stop right there. But just kept trying to sneak it in. And then when he was going to die, he called me on the phone. I went to his house out in Winchester, drove out there on a Saturday morning in driving rain, sat down in his, they had made the dining room into a hospice room, and led him to Christ. Just exciting. So at his funeral, I'm sharing how his testimony, how that he was hostile to the gospel, but that in the end, he had received Christ. And there were, I not remember the count. There was at least a dozen people that came up to me afterwards and said, we had no idea. We had witnessed to him for years and years and years and told him about Christ, and he had rejected us and put us off. And we are so thrilled to hear that he has trusted Christ. Because if you're really soul conscious, you don't care who leads them to Christ. You just want them to come to Christ. And so he had come to Christ, but I was reaping the benefits of years of folks that had witnessed to him, prayed for him, ministered to him. I just happened to be there at the end. As Paul said, some plant, some water, but God gives the increase. So can you go to somebody's door and lead them to Christ? Absolutely, absolutely. I was at Panera and sat down with a man who had visited the church on a Sunday morning. And we were standing in line. I thought he was a believer. He was a visitor on Sunday morning, dressed to Baptist Park, carried a Bible. And I said to him, so tell me your testimony. He said, what's a testimony? And I said, you know, when you came to Christ. And he said to me, I've always been a Christian. And I knew immediately that I was talking to an unsaved man. And just changed the whole focus of our time together. And he was a lawyer. And at that time, at there, or right over here in Kingstown, I plugged him with the gospel. And before we left Panera, over 3 sugar packs explaining salvation being a legal, I'm looking for the word, a legal term, something that is not just accidental, it's not just conferred on you, it has to go, you have to go to Christ, you have to go before the judge God, and God's got to sign off on this. A legal process, that's the word I'm looking for. He said, I've never done that. And bowed his head on the at the table there at Panera and trusted Christ as a Savior. That's really exciting. But I shared Wednesday evening, I think it was Wednesday evening, Ray de Guzman, I witnessed to him for a couple of years. And he sat in the church services for a couple of years. And I wasn't getting through to him. I wasn't getting through to him. But Dwight Smith did. And sometimes you just need a different voice to share it and build on this. Some plant, some water. It's God that gives the increase. And who gets the glory for that? God gets the glory for that. And Brother Ray has taught many, many people how to win people to Christ. soul winning is attacked in the day and age in which we live. They call it quick prayerism or just prayerism or easy believism or just believe. I call it sloppy soul winning. Take the time. You're helping to birth a new believer. It's not something that... And everybody's birthing story is different. Again, you talk to a lady who's given birth to a child, and some lady will say, "Oh yeah, I just pop them out. You know, I go in the hospital. 15 minutes later, there's a baby." And some ladies will say, "I was in labor for 7 days." Everyone is different. Every story is different. Every soul winning story is going to be different. Don't expect yours to be the same as everyone else's. But just pray the Baptist prayer is not a person says, no, I'm not really interested. No, I really need to think about it. And you say to them, just pray this prayer so that I feel better. That does not confer salvation just because somebody utters some words that is absolutely meaning. What is missing? Repentance is missing. And we'll talk about that. I was at a McDonald's, and I don't know, probably about an hour from here, and I was trying to get in the door, and there was a guy there. He had his Bible out, and it was a big Bible. And the lady was just trying to go in and get a Big Mac. And he was witnessing to her. Now, I thought that was interesting, outside of McDonald's. And so I stopped to listen. This is kind of interesting. Something interests me. Somebody getting preached to, and is somebody going to get saved? Listen, I'm on the side of people getting saved. I just am. And this is what he said. She said, "No, I'm not interested. No, I just want a Big Mac. No, I just want my fish fillet. No, I just want my french fries. Please get out of my way so I can get something to drink." And he said, "Well, you don't have to pray. You don't have to do anything. Just believe. Just believe. Just believe. Just believe. Do you believe?" And she said, "I believe." And he said, "Praise the Lord, you're saved. Go get your Big Mac." And she went inside to get a Big Mac. And I'm like, what did I just see? I saw a lady that got her Big Mac. I saw a guy walking away praising the Lord that he had just led somebody to Christ. And I tell you, that lady was no more saved than as a fish a crocodile. It just amazed me. I call that my Dorothy in Kansas method of soul winning. Click your heels 3 times and all of a sudden you end up in Kansas. It's crazy. But you can lead people to Christ. Years ago, a Saturday morning, so when we get up and give the challenge, many years ago, a guy got up on Saturday morning, I think we were meeting downstairs over in that corner, and he attacked the doctrine of repentance. He said, people talk about repentance. Repentance is not necessary for salvation. Now, I did not... stand up and raise a fuss in the middle of the group. I didn't embarrass him before everybody else. Went to him after and put my hand on his shoulder. I said, "That was a really interesting message you brought this morning." He said, "Well, thank you very much." I said, "I'm going to give you an assignment this week." He said, "What's that?" I said, "I want you to go through your Bible and I want you to handwrite down every reference that talks to repent, repenting, repentance in the Scripture, and I want you to come back and show them to me." I knew that he was never going to get to the end because his hand was going to get tired. So the next week he came back to me and I went, or he came and I went up to him and I said, "So did you complete your assignment?" Kind of like the guys doing the planking assignment. And he said, "It was too much work. I gave up." I said, "So what do you think about all those references in your Bible towards repentance?" Is what he said. He said, "I think it's above my pay grade." He said, "It is not above your pay grade. You're going to be a Christian. You better figure this out." And he has, and he's still today a wonderful man, a wonderful soul winner, a trusted friend. Several months ago, we had, it was a Sunday morning, we had, three young couples visit on a Sunday morning. I think they sat over in this section, and after the service, one of the young men came up to me. He was, the leader of the group. His girlfriend was with him, and he said, "I have a question. You have time for a question?" I said, "Sure." He said, "So do you preach repentance?" Now, I know when somebody asks me that question, that this is not going to end well, because I side with God's word. You come ask me a question, you're expecting an answer that is contrary to God's word, the conversation is not going to go. And I knew immediately that they were not going to come here to church, because we absolutely preach repentance. Repentance is a Bible concept. I suspect that he was coming from a Roman Catholic church background and had confused repentance with penance. Penance is not biblical at all whatsoever. Can I get a witness from my Catholic, former Catholic people in the room? Yeah, I'll tell you that. So if you want to know the difference between penance and repentance, you need but ask these two people right here. They can tell you. Eden will tell you the church position. And Ray will tell you the person that sits in the pew position. So they've got a great balance here. Ray is one of my favorite people. If you don't know Ray Guzman, if you've not sat down and broken bread with him and had him explain to you what life was like before Christ, his testimony, man, you really should do that. Dwight would have to put that in a book. There's no way he could get that on a 4-page track. It's just absolutely hilarious of what people without Christ will do to check the I'm going to heaven box, but still be without Christ. We're in Acts chapter 20. That was the introduction. Let's look at verse 17. This is the Apostle Paul. He's a pretty good authority, right? And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, Acts, this is Luke. And so when they were come to him, he said unto them, "Ye know from the first day I came unto Asia, and what manner I have been with you all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind, and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the laying away to the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and taught you publicly and from house to house." Notice verse 21, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks. What's the next word? Yeah, repentance. Repentance toward God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. Is repentance a Bible concept? Well, we just read it, so it's there. So we better figure out what to do with it. The doctrine of repentance, and remember, repentance and penance are two different things. And a lot of times when somebody says to you, "Do you believe in the doctrine of repentance?" they are probably asking you, "Do you think penance is required for salvation?" They have confused the terms. You're not going to convince them of what those terms really are, but they should really get in their Bible. Repentance is found 25 times in the New Testament alone. 46 times repent is used in the Bible. 24 times repent is used in the New Testament. Jesus, in Luke chapter 13, this is Jesus Christ. This is a pretty good authority. Jesus Christ is a pretty good authority. And notice what Christ preached. This is Jesus Christ, and this is the several verses where Christ is addressing some current events that are happening in the world. The Tower of Siloam. Think that those were sinners above all else because they suffered such faith. And this is what Jesus said, "But I say unto you, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." That's Jesus Christ. So if Jesus Christ were the pastor of Lighthouse Baptist Church and that couple were to come up to Jesus and say, "Do you believe in the doctrine of repentance?" Jesus Christ could have said, "Yeah, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." And they would say, leaving this church, because this church obviously isn't biblical. It's Jesus Christ. He's a pretty good preacher, teacher. He is not afraid of the term. We should not be afraid either. And twice in that passage, verse 3 and verse 5, Luke chapter 13, he mentions that. Matthew chapter 4, verse 17, from that time Jesus began to preach. And what did he preach? And to say, as a quote, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Wow. Who's that? That's Jesus Christ. It's a quote from one of his messages. John the Baptist was a repentance preacher. In Luke, the third chapter, the third verse, "And he came into all the country about Jordan, preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins." The problem is, again, Satan loves to copycat things, and he loves to confuse things. And the Roman Catholic Church doctrine of penance has really muddied that up for a lot of people. And so people hear repentance, they think penance, but the two are totally, totally different. Again, the Apostle Paul, Acts chapter 13, when John had first preached before his coming, the baptism of repentance to all the people of Israel. So here's Paul, and he's preaching. He's not upset about what John preached at all. And he's not blackballing John on an internet list and saying, "John is one of those repentance preachers. Don't follow him." He's quoting John and saying, "This is good doctrine." Acts chapter 19, verse 4 quotes Paul. "Then said Paul," quote, "John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Jesus Christ." I've shared this with before. I got a phone call, I know, probably 10 years ago, from a knucklehead. He was one of those people that listened to your message online, and just turned me off. Just hit the different button, or hit the block button, or just block the website. Why punish yourself? Just don't listen. But he did. He listened and he called. And I said, "Lyle Baptist Church, may I help you?" He said, "I'm listening to one of your sermons." I said, "Okay." I don't want to say good yet because he sounds hostile. He said, "Yeah. You're preaching, you're one of those repentance preachers, and I called to let you know that I maintain a list on the web of repentance preachers, and I'm adding you to my list." I said, "Wow. What's your website? I'd be interested to take a look at it." I said, "I'm here at my computer. Give it to me." I said, "Let me put you on speakerphone. Put it on speakerphone." And I said, "Wow, that's an impressive list, and I'm adding you to it." I said, "You missed a few names." He said, "And I would like to provide them those names for you so that you can add those names to your list. Would that be helpful to you?" He said, "Oh, that would be wonderful. Thank you so very much." And so you can hear, getting the paper out, get a pen. I said, "Are you ready?" He said, "I'm ready." I said, "So here's some names that you missed. John the Baptist, Paul the Apostle, Jesus Christ." None of those names are on your list. You might want to add them to your list because they preached repentance. And he said, "Oh, never mind." And he hung up the phone on me. Is repentance necessary for salvation? Jesus seemed to think so. Jesus is a pretty good authority. "Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." What is repentance? Repentance is a turning. When you go to your Bible and you see the word turn, we memorized Proverbs chapter 1 years ago. And the wisdom of Proverbs: "Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known on my words unto you. Because I called and ye refused. I stretched out my hand, but no man regarded. And ye set at naught all my counsel with none of my reproof. I will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, and distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall ye call upon me, but I will not answer. Ye shall seek me early, but ye shall not find me. For that ye hated knowledge, and would not." And that's a powerful passage. How does it begin? Turn. What is that? That's repentance. God expects a turning. That's just really neat. Tony's testimony is just a really powerful example. Now, I don't sit down with somebody. I didn't sit down with the guy over at Panera and say,
"I want to school you on the doctrine of repentance."
But I'm going to address sin. Jesus Christ addressed sin. And for a person to say, so let me get this straight. If I pray your prayer, all right, right now I'm cheating on my wife. So I can pray this prayer, and I can keep cheating on my wife, and that's okay. And you say, sure, yeah. That is not repentance. Tony had repentance. That's just can I share this? Okay. So Tony, they talk to him, and they lead him to Christ, and he, as best he can, as best he knows how, he receives the gift of God, which is eternal life. But Melanie started, she said, I was witnessing to Tony, my son-in-law. And then she went back, after she talked, and she said, well, I'm talking to him, but he's really not my son-in-law. Why? Because he is shacked up with her daughter. There's just no good way to put that. They're living in sin. And he knows it. And so they talk to him about sin and getting right and accepting Christ. And repentance took place in his heart. I don't know if they saw it as he was praying to receive Christ, but they definitely saw it in the next words that came out of his mouth. Now look at Melanie. She's shaking her head yes. Some of you doubt. You think I make these stories up. I know. And you can't Google this one. But we got the eyewitness in the room. Tony received Christ, and then he looked at this couple right here, and he said, I know I need to marry your daughter. What is that? That is repentance. That is a turning. Now, he is not marrying the daughter in order to receive salvation. He is receiving salvation and realizes, I have to turn from my sin and turn to the Savior. And he is absolutely doing that. And so, he gets out of, he can't do it. He's in the hospital, right? So he gets out of the hospital because getting married means that you have to go down to the courthouse and get a license. And so, he goes down to the courthouse, he gets a license. And they call me on the phone. It's a Thursday. It has been a horrendous day for me. And they call me on the phone and they say, Pastor, we would like to get married. Well, praise the Lord, hallelujah, amen. When are you thinking about? Well, we're thinking about, you know, sometime down the road, having a big event, have a church thing, you know, have people in. And this is what I said. I'm not interested. I am absolutely not interested in helping you to continue to live in sin. And they said, well, what should we do? I said, you're convinced that this is sinful? Yeah. And you want to make it right? Yeah. Then why are you waiting for 3 months? Let's take care of this tonight. I said, you got a license? Hey, we got a license. I said, I'll come to you. They said, Pastor, you have no idea where we are. We're several hours away. It's evening rush hour traffic. I said, yeah. I said, I'm on my way. Well, she said, well, let me call. And she and Lauren and Tony talked together. And then they called me back and said, yes, we're living in sin. We want to make this right. We want to make it right tonight. And so I picked up Mrs. Bishop. We drove down to, I don't know, wherever we were, Locust Grove, wherever that is. It's in the Grove of Locusts, somewhere in central Virginia. And I went into their living room and had a wedding. What is that? That's repentance. That's turning from sin and turning to the Savior. Listen, if you want to turn from sin and turn to the Savior, I'm your best friend. If you want to turn from sin, if you want to accept Christ and remain in sin for the next 6 months, I'm going to preach against you. I'm going to make it difficult. That's what we're supposed to do. Is there a problem with false views of repentance? There absolutely is. There is always a danger of extremes. We talked about in any doctrine, there's extremes. And we talked about Calvinism and Arminianism. They are two extremes. What are you? I am a Bible believer. And the Bible believer is going to fall somewhere there in the middle. This is what some people will say. Well, repentance is just being sorry for sin. False. That's false. Sorrow for sin may be included in repentance. Repentance is not merely a sorrow for sin. Who was sorry for their sin? Judas was. He was absolutely sorry. But he did not sorrow unto repentance. what was he? He regretted that he had betrayed the innocent blood. Tried to return the money, that's penance. Tried to do penance, was not received. Penance will not get you to heaven. And Judas went out and hung himself. He did not go to hell because he hung himself. He went out to, hell because he rejected the gift of God, which is eternal life in Jesus Christ. I saw this in police work. I hated it. I was on an airplane. I was flying back from Atlanta, Georgia airport with a prisoner, with a police buddy of mine. Name was Bob. All great people are named Bob. He was Bob, and he was from New York. And we were on the airplane, and the guy was kind of crazy. And he said to the pilot, he said, the minute we cross into Virginia airspace, would you please let me know? Because we're out of our jurisdiction. We have a fugitive from justice warrant that has been served. It has been served in Georgia, which is where they caught the bad guy. We flew down there as local police officials to pick him up on that state detainer and transport him back. But once you get back to Virginia, then you have to serve the Virginia warrant. Now he's in our jurisdiction, now we can serve it. So we're flying in the airplane, and the pilot comes over to the person in the back of the plane that's interested. And when you got a prisoner, they always put you in the back. Put you in the back two seats right along the bathroom in the center. They make you get on first because they don't want to see anybody on the plane to be freaked out that you're bringing somebody in there and shackles them like arms are like this. Oh, man, I think I'm going to take a different plane because there's a murderer back there. It's a financial crime thing. And so we're in the back of the plane, and the pilot comes on. For the people who are interested in knowing, we have just crossed into Virginia airspace. You look down on the ground, you see the city of such and such below. And Bob says, cool, because that was for him. He reaches in his satchel and he pulls out the warrant. Because why? Because now we're in Virginia and we have legal authority. And there in the airplane, he served the warrant on this guy. And the guy said, I found Jesus. I found Jesus. I got saved. And he just started running. And I'm like, I'm a Christian. And my buddy Bob is not. And you are using Christian terms, not because you found Christ, but because you're trying to get out of trouble. That is not repentance. Did that guy have sorrow? Yes, he had sorrow that he had gotten caught. Do I think for a moment that he had embraced Jesus Christ as a Savior? No. Why? Because the police had to hunt him down. And if he had had repentance, he would have called the police and said, come pick me up. But he didn't have repentance. He had remorse. Repentance may involve, I'm living in sin. Sorrow. But if that's all it brings is sorrow, it doesn't bring a turning, it's not repentance. I mean, it's just not. The Bible content. So, yellow mic. See if the sound guys are paying attention. We have this evening in our service a very important church official. We have Miss St. Jude in the service tonight. If you don't know, St. Jude is the patron saint of the hopeless. And she is the official representative of St. Jude, the patron. You said I could pick on her tonight. You did. You said, go for it. That's your quote. And so, Miss, we're coming to Miss St. Jude, the patron saint of the hopeless. And we have a question for you. I was just speeding on the Beltway. I was going 195 miles an hour. What do I need to do in the realm of penance to have forgiveness? What would you assign me to do?
Pray to St. Jude, or you can walk, you can be on your knees.
I can kneel on my knees. Okay.
From the door of the door.
Okay, from the door.
And go into the altar.
Okay, hold on to this. Walk me through it again. What do I got to do? Man, that's a long ways. Talk to me.
Do I really have to go all the way?
Yes.
Okay, close your eyes.
You cheated.
Okay. Your eyes were closed. Okay, okay. What else do I need to do?
Pray the rosary.
No.
You're really right. You got to talk to Ray. Because if I was going to pray the rosary, I would pray it like Ray. So, Ray, how do you pray the rosary? Because you do it a lot faster than Eden does.
You first recite, and then you just do it above. Just do it at above. Just at above.
Same as
above.
So Tony didn't say to Alan and Melanie, so what? Do I have to give $1,000? Do I have to light 17 candles? You missed my favorite one. No, don't they make you like say 17 Hail Marys or something like that?
It depends on the... There are mysteries of the...
Oh, it's complicated. I'll just say penance is complicated. Repentance is not complicated. I'm going on the road to hell. And somebody arrests me, stops me on that road to hell, and they tell me I'm a sinner on my way to hell. And I embrace Christ. I'm a new creature. Old things are passed away. All things are become new. I have a new heart. I have a new set of desires. I have turned. That's repentance. Really? So I just killed somebody.
You need to go to the priest and confess.
Oh, confession. I got to sit in that little room. Have you been to the little room?
No.
My kind of Catholic right here.
Okay. And I go and I tell... Do I really have to tell them I killed somebody? Can I tell them, like,
yes.
I pushed them, they fell down, and they hit their head, they weren't breathing anymore, but I don't think I killed them? Can I lie to the priest? Well, wait. Have you ever lied to the priest?
I did.
You really need to talk to this couple right here. It's just a lot of fun. But here's the thing. Penance doesn't get you to heaven. You say all the Hail Marys you want. You walk on your knees till they're bloody, and people do that. That's penance. But don't let people take the doctrine of repentance from you. There is, there is ungodly concepts, not Bible concepts. Sorrow of getting caught. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 talks about that. That there is a sorrow that worketh death. Matthew chapter 27. Verse 3, talking about Judas, said Judas repented, he had sorrow, but not until salvation. This is interesting. If you like to follow the critical Bible translations, people say to me, Pastor, I just led somebody to Christ, but the King James is so hard to understand. Can I give them a Bible to understand, like, I don't know, the Living Bible? Maybe I can give them the Douay Rheims version, which is the Catholic Bible. The New Living Translation, the Living Bible, the Roman Catholic Church Douay Rheims Bible has taken the word repentance and changed it to penance 66 times. You tell me that's the number of God? That's the number of the Antichrist. 666, you heard that number before? Repentance is not merely a moral reformation. It is not turning over a new leaf. I had met a guy, he was a legal attaché to an embassy, and he wanted to talk to the bishop. And Lighthouse Baptist Church came up. So he came in here on a Sunday morning and said, there must be something about that pew where you sat when you come in. It just draws sinners in. And he sat down, and I talked to him. He introduced himself, and he said, hey, I'd like to meet with you. I am a new Christian, and I wanted to meet the Baptist bishop. I said, well, here he is. So let's meet for him. Met in his home, a beautiful estate down in the Mount Vernon area, and sat in his living room. And I said, so tell me how you came to know Christ. And he said, well, I turned over a new leaf. And I knew I was not talking to a saved person.
And I said, salvation is not turning over a new leaf. Recognizing you're a sinner and you need a Savior, Jesus Christ. And there in his living room, he received Jesus Christ and the gift of God. That is just neat. And his whole life changed. What is that? That's repentance, that turning. And so he said, what do I do next? I said, well, let's sit down every week and let's do discipleship together. I'll do a Bible study in your home and teach you what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. He said, wonderful. Can I invite other people from the embassy to come? I said, absolutely. So the next week, there are four people in the room, and they're all people that said, the Baptist bishop is coming to my house this Saturday morning at 10 o'clock, and we're having a meeting, and you will be there. And for the next, I don't know, for the next 8 weeks, I had different embassy people, and we never, for that first 8 weeks, we didn't get through the first chapter, which is salvation, because every week we just preached Christ, and he was thrilled, and people came to know Christ as their Savior, and he and I are friends still today. But what he did not get saved by bringing people to a Bible study. He was arrested on his way to hell, and had an about face. I'll just tell you, he was a legal attaché from a Russian bloc country. He's in a country that is hostile to the gospel. But he received Christ and brought many, many people from the embassy to know Christ as a Savior, because immediately he realized he had a whole new direction and a whole new mindset, because that's repentance. It is a turning from sin, turning to the Savior, turning from on the path that you are on, turning to follow Jesus Christ. Repentance is an understandable concept. Change of mind that leads to a change of heart. A change of mind, change of heart, change that leads to a change of direction. The change of direction doesn't. That's penance. Doing something, if you add works, and we read this morning, then there's no more grace. Pentecost, Peter challenges Jewish leaders to repent, to have a change of mind about who Jesus was. They refuse to do it. It's not mere emotion. Oh, I'm so sorry I got caught. That's not repentance. Kids had that. Confession of sin, forsaking of sin, causing one to turn to God. Who brings that? I don't. Holy Spirit does. Holy Spirit brings conviction of sin. The hearer changes his mind as the truth is presented. I have a quote in here I want you to read. Let me find it. R.A. Torrey said this, "There surely is not the emphasis laid upon repentance in modern preaching that there is in the Bible." Now, he's dead and gone to heaven. That was a problem back then, it's really a problem now. Genuine salvation will always be preceded by repentance. The contrite sinner who turns to God, accepts God's judgment upon sin, accepts the fact that he needs to get right with God, accepts the fact of his guilt, and accepts the fact that he is lost and on his way to hell without Christ. Turning from your self-righteousness, turning from your works, turning from your false religion, turning from your false belief, turning to Jesus Christ as your only Savior. But don't make no mistake about it. It involves a turning. 1 Thessalonians 1:9, Paul acknowledged of the people in Thessalonica how that ye have turned to God from idols to serve the living God. And I quoted Proverbs chapter 1, turn you at my reproof. Luke chapter 24, verse 47, repentance is to be preached. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? Father, thank you for your word. And the problem is not that the gospel has lost its power, and the problem is not that people can't get saved. It's a problem that lips are silent. May we not be silent about the need for the solution to sin, the only solution, the way, the truth, and the life, Jesus Christ. May we not cower from it. May we not bend from it. May we not shy away from it. May we not let people rob us of the salvation message. May we be fervent in spirit. You're here this evening, you're a Christian, you know Jesus Christ is my Savior. Pastor, that is my prayer this evening. You pray for me, God, help me to have that power, that vision, that focus, soul focus. Slip your hand up, let me pray for you. Certainly my prayer. Thank you for being yours. Father, I thank you for church family. We're excited about seeing these folks baptized soon. Baptism does not bring salvation. Turning to Christ brings salvation. We're thankful that they have done that. They confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in their heart that God has raised him from the dead, and they are saved. And that's just a remarkable thing. Help us to be fervent gospel witnesses, we pray. With every head bowed and every eye closed, you're here this evening. You do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior. You say, preacher, pray for me. I am not saved. I need to be saved. I've done the baptism thing. I've done the works thing. I've done the penance thing. I've done my Hail Marys. I've done my walking on my knees. But I've never received Christ. There's a difference. Preacher, pray for me. Slip your hand up. Hold it up for a moment. Let me remember you in prayer. The one here tonight. Stand to our feet. Piano's playing. The altar's open. You want to pray for somebody? Altar's a great place to do that.